Turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. And we'll be looking at verses 21 through 28. Matthew chapter 15, and beginning at verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. There's a special reason, and the special reason that we affix our attention to this passage. This woman, with the deliverance of her daughter from Satan's grasp, as her driving and persistent desire, this passage should rivet our attention. Why? Well, there are only two cases in the Gospels of such extraordinary faith, so striking, that the Lord Himself commends that faith with extraordinary admiration. Wouldn't you say that should then rivet our attention upon a passage? When the centurion, whose request was for the healing of his paralyzed servant, recognized and believed that the Lord had such authority that He could heal with the word at a distance, the Lord exclaimed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Well, that's something, because even oft times when the Lord spoke of the faith of His disciples, what kind of faith did He describe it as? Little. Then when this woman of Canaan, this woman so bound up with love to her daughter, displaying incredible humility and unshakable persistence, cries for the deliverance of her child, the Lord doesn't even mention that. He's struck by the strength of her faith. O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. Now when you consider that this woman was a Gentile, and that from a race that had been long doomed, that was ingrained with idolatry, that for so long ages had a stranglehold on it, and that she showed greater faith than the Jews, who had been long in possession of the very oracles of God, indeed we find here a great faith. From the hostility of the Jews, those to whom the Lord was first sent, and because His hour was not yet come, the Lord left the borders of Israel and retreated to Gentile territory, as we read in verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. So that what took place on Gentile ground makes what we read here even more striking. It reminds us of what had to be said to those who would not hear the glorious gospel of the grace of God even after the Lord's death and resurrection. Certain Jews who were the ones to whom both the Lord and His disciples were first sent. Even as the gospel began to spread, the gospel still went first to the Jews. In Acts chapter 13, verse 46, when Paul preaches the gospel in a synagogue, the scripture says that is declared unto them, it was necessary that the gospel be first spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Then we learn that Gentiles indeed believed. And the scripture says in Acts 13:48, as many as were ordained of the Lord believed. And what the Lord said to the woman of Canaan, though it included the design of trying and strengthening her faith, was absolutely true in verse 24 when He says, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What He stated was a truth. His commission from His Father was first to the Jews. And as another put it, we may well believe that His sympathy outran His commission, and that it would have been hard for such love to be silenced in the presence of so much sorrow if He had not felt the solemn pressure of that divine necessity which ruled all His life. But we want to consider this woman and her great faith, and how such faith pleased the Lord, so much so that He gave her a blank check from heaven's storehouse, as it were, His signature's on it. And He says, fill in what you want. Heaven's storehouse is your storehouse. You take whatever you want. You put down the amount. That's something, isn't it? And so indeed, should not this passage rivet our attention? It is blessed indeed. But we look in the verses here, verses 21 through 23, and we find the unanswered cry for mercy and help. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And hear this startling thing. But He answered her not a word. And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. She cries to the one of whom she has heard, the one whose mercy to those with cries for help was well known. So well known that it spread beyond the borders of Israel. The one she is sure has the power to deliver her daughter from the awful dark power that has taken her captive. Though descended from the ancient race of Israel's enemies, isn't it rather something that she owns what many a Jew would not? With thou son of David, she acknowledges His kingship. What a wondrous thing. Blessed indeed when those who long had the light of Scripture, the very Word of God, like Nathanael in John chapter 1, could cry, Rabbi, Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. How much more blessed as when Isaiah says in Isaiah 9, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. When those afar off immediately believe, while those long under the sound of the Word of God, to whom God has stretched out His hand all day long, give no regard to it. It's a wondrous thing. Then this mother, in her agony, thinking He would hear her distressed cry. After all, this was the report she'd heard. Everything about him. Thinking he only needs to know. Not even bringing her daughter to him. Because his power is not limited by distance. She makes her piteous appeal. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. She cries, believing he alone can set her daughter free from the demonic power that enslaved her. She cries, so bound up with her daughter's misery, with the heart of a true mother who would take all the suffering of an afflicted child unto herself, could she do so. She cries with such a tie to her daughter that her appeal is, have mercy on me. But then, the ears that seemed always open to the cries of suffering, the feet that stopped when desperation looked only to him, and only to him when even other things pressed upon him, the lips that spoke words of faith, help, and deliverance at the cries of anguish were now silent. He answered her. Not a word. It would seem the trial severe enough when indifferent disciples who were annoyed and impatient were the cause of great disappointment sent her away. Like too many of us. We'll take care of your need, but not out of a real compassion, just to get rid of somebody. But the trial, does it not become even more severe when the Lord Himself is silent at the cry for help? This is a far more severe trial, wouldn't you say? But no one else could help her. No one else can heal her daughter of the dark demonic plague that engulfed her soul. And to nowhere else and to no one else will she flee. And thus, like Jacob of old, she could have said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. While others are so easily discouraged, cast down by immediate disappointment, ready to wallow in self-pity, seeking to immerse themselves in some fleeing and empty escapism, there are those who will keep calling on the Lord, who will refuse to leave Him or go away, or to seek anyone or anything beside Him. And indeed, the Scripture does not in vain admonish us, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Indeed, in the midst of great conflict and trial and warfare, David can cry as we should. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved when all around my soul gives way. He then is all my hope and stay. When others, tripped up by trial, disappointment, and delay, leave Him, when not understanding His word, nor enduring sound doctrine, seek for fleshly ease instead of first, firmly and resolutely continuing to seek His face, there are yet those who will not be moved. Will ye also go away? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. This woman knew that she was in the presence of the King of Israel. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Thou Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. The door that seemed shut in her face, she keeps knocking on it. Will not move until she gets that for which she was seeking. You know, it's very clear in Scripture that the Lord Jesus loves that kind of faith. He loves the kind of faith that will not quit, but will even grow stronger and seeks even more fervently. When there seems to be no answer, how do we know that? Well, He taught about that unjust judge, you remember? In Luke chapter 18, and that passage teaches of a persevering faith. And it teaches of the manifestation of genuine faith by continuing to look to Him when the word is even go away, I'm in bed, I can't help you. The knock comes and it gets even louder. Until that woman's need is met. And then what did the Lord say? Will the Son of Man find faith on the earth when He comes? When the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? You see, the Lord loves that kind of faith. Matter of fact, that's what He says in Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, does He not? When He says, ask and ye shall receive. Is that all? Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. You see, that is a progression. That is an intensity that gets even stronger when the answer does not come. The unshakable persistence that would not leave, would not let Him go, but if anything became more determined as the trial increased, is found in verses 24 through 27. But He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. But He answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. The words that gave the sound of deterrence, harsh words from the Lord of mercy. The words that gave the sound of deterrence became the spur that intensified her desire. He now answers. But with the declaration of His present purpose, He speaks words that are true. For He was Israel's Messiah. His first mission was to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He'd gone into this Gentile territory as an expedient temporarily. Only after His rejection, crucifixion, and resurrection would He command, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It was not then the proper thing. It was not meet. It was not proper to give the blessings that belonged to Israel to those who did not belong to Israel. As another put it, There must be geographical limits to his life. And the Messiah, who comes in the long series of kings and prophets, can only be authenticated as the world's Messiah by being first the fulfiller of the promises made to the fathers. He must fulfill the promises God made to the Jewish fathers. He must be sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He must be the one that confirms and fulfills what was written before. Well, he may have been sent to Israel, but where was he now? He was in her presence. He was near her. And she wouldn't let him go. And the agonized determination of her soul now expressed itself in worship, which probably signifies that she fell before him, maybe even grasping his feet. Now the cry is shorter. Lord, help me! The words then that seem reproachful, that the human pride and human reason would be a source of discouragement, are made by this Canaanite woman an argument of faith. This is the meat of this passage, and it is astounding in verses 26 and 27. But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord." Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Here it has been observed indeed. We shall see this dear woman's faith, humility, perseverance, swift perception of his meaning, and hallowed ingenuity and boldness. She doesn't argue with his word. She brings not one word of argument against him. She agrees with him. Truth, Lord. He just called her a dog. Truth, Lord. She owns her place as a dog. Isn't that amazing? What humility was in that woman? With the greatest of humility, she says, "Lord, truth, Lord." She doesn't protest at the charge. But in essence, she owns herself as a sinner of the Gentiles. Isn't that a wondrous thing? Truth, Lord. I'm a Gentile dog. I'm a sinner. She won't argue with his word. She submits to him. After all, he is the Son of David. He is Lord. And she so recognizes him as such. What does she do? What will she do? Not argue from with his word. She will argue from his word. This is a wondrous passage. She will argue from his word. She will take his words like a dog to whom a stick is thrown, only to bring it back and put it at the feet of its master. It's a wondrous thing. She asked no place at the table. Only for the crumbs. Like a family pet. The kind of dog here is not the wild, untamed, vicious dog that sometimes roam around in that part of the world. This is a domesticated dog, a family pet. I ask no place at the table. Just the crumbs that fall. She's not asking him to transfer his ministry to the Gentiles. But he is there. He is in her presence. And does not the scripture say, seek ye the Lord while he may be found? He's near to you this morning. He's nearer than you begin to realize. He's here. Where we are gathered together in his name. No, not asking for a transfer of the ministry. But you're here. In his brief visit, the bread is there. And if but a crumb, may she not eat of that? It will take nothing from the children for the dogs under the table to eat the crumbs that the children drop. What did she do? The door was opened. It was only opened slightly, and she pushed through it. Oh, woman. O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. This triumphant faith received a blank check. Isn't it wondrous? It's a wondrous passage. As Spurgeon put it, our Lord was not only to speak after the manner of men astonished at her faith, but with reverence we may say that he was conquered by it. He yielded to her faith, and he yielded unconditionally. He gave her much more than she had asked. She didn't ask for her daughter to be immediately healed. But what do we read? Her daughter was made whole that very hour. He had given her, as it were, the checkbook of heaven. His signature's on it. She could fill in whatever she wanted. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. She had trusted him, who'd never lied to anyone and never failed to keep his promise, and he does not. And surely he deserves to be trusted, for there's no one like him. Let us never, by any kind of mistrust of him through weak faith, doubt him. Don't doubt him at all. He never said anything that was not true. He never gave any promise that is not absolutely so. Do you believe that? Certainly. But you know what? You don't just give anybody a blank check, do you? You don't just sign it with your signature and it's blank and you say, here, you fill in what you want. You don't do that to just anybody. Not at all. You give it only to those you trust. Now, that's a solemn thing. You only put a blank check in the hand of one you trust. This woman was trusted. This woman filled in whatever her faith desired. And heaven's storehouse became her storehouse. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Wondrous to consider that not only did she trust Him, He trusted her. You know how I know that? It's absolutely opposite of what happened in John chapter 2. There were those in John chapter 2 who saw His miracles and they believed. Not the saving kind of faith, but the sight kind of faith that saves no one. They believed. But the Scripture says, of course, the Lord Jesus knows what's in man. And He didn't commit Himself to them. Now, the same word believed in the original. Or pardon me, Joe, in the original language. The same word. Believing, commitment, it all is together there. So He didn't trust them. So He didn't commit Himself to them. Does He trust this woman? Yes, completely. Completely. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt, whatever you desire. Can you imagine what some would take that and do with it? That's why they don't have the blank check. She didn't ask for money or things or ease or long life. Only that the devil no longer possess her child, my daughter, my daughter, my daughter. Immediately, the withdrawal was made. And the demonic powers were banished. And her daughter was whole. Wondrous. Her daughter was made whole from that very hour. What a wondrous thing we read of. What wondrous things in this passage of Scripture. What did she seek? But a crumb. The dogs, they eat the crumbs. The children drop. She had sought but a crumb. What did the Lord do? He put her at His table as a child. Do we not understand what He gave her when He gave her bread? What did He give her? Himself. Do we not understand that in giving bread, He gave Himself to her? Wondrous indeed. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You come to Him as a sinner. I'm not worthy, Lord, of anything from You. I'm a sinner. I've transgressed Your holy law. I've defied You. I've gone my own way. I've dishonored Your name. And I look to You and cling only to Your cross. What does He make you? A saint. You come to Him as a Gentile dog. What does he do? He makes you a citizen of the true Israel. You come to him with a broken and a contrite heart. He gives you a new heart. Then learn something. Learn to turn his words back on him. Learn to turn his words back on him. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Did you ever say something wasn't true? No. Learn his word. This woman listened intently. She realized the door was ever slightly opened. She would give him no rest until he exclaimed, O woman, great is thy faith. Only one of two times you ever hear that. O woman, great is thy faith. You take his truth, his word. You learn his will. You see, actually, her will was his will. His will was her will. He brought out that faith that would not let him go without the blessing she desired. Is that not an incentive to learn his word? To learn his truth? To lay hold of what he says? To quit doubting? And when you desire bread from the table of the Lord Jesus, not from Satan's oven, if that is truly what you want, you'll have even as you will. It's a glorious thing. And when your desire for your children is truly for their salvation, and if that be true, you will not cease moving them in that direction while claiming the promise that was given to the jailer, while giving Christ no rest. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Do remember the one thing that Christ praised in this woman. O woman, great is thy faith. What is it that pleases our Lord? What is it without which it's impossible to please him? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That woman would seek none other. She wouldn't be put off. She wouldn't turn away. She wouldn't become discouraged. She wouldn't let him go. Her cry intensified. Shortened, but intensified the second time. Lord, help me! Usually, when there's an intense soul, the words become fewer, even in prayer. And if in any measure you possess a true saving faith, then you'll learn to give God the praise. Because had it not come from him to begin with as his gift, you wouldn't be able to exercise it. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Your heart cry for something? That would be to God's glory and honor. Do you believe His Word? Do you trust Him? If you do, and you find Him sometimes silent, you're not going to go anywhere else. You're going to continue looking. You're going to continue clinging only to Him. He alone can save you. He alone can give you calm and rest in your soul toward Him. He alone can save your children. Only He. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Thou Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Lord, help me. Feed me with the crumbs. No, daughter, the bread is yours. May God bless His Word.